Who are you?
I am a Montrealer. My name is Melissa Ofdermauer.
I'm glad you said that because I call you Melissa Ofdermauer. Is that okay?
That's great. That's the Canadian way to say it.
Oh, now, Melissa Ofdermauer, can you please tell me about your duck tattoo? Is there a duck tattoo you don't like?
No, you're the one that made up the duck part. No, it's a melting egg.
And there's some tattoo you don't like. Where is it? Can we see it, or is it off limits?
Oh, it's not X-rated location. It's just on my lower back, and it's fading and hideous. I got it when I was 16. It doesn't count.
And you've been dissing this ever since, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
So it is not the duck. How did it become a duck tattoo? I heard it was like, it just sounds really good, a duck tattoo.
Maybe it's something to do with the egg. I mean, basically it's a melting lion jumping through a sun, so maybe it was something about a duck hopping through an egg. I don't know.
Melissa Ofdermauer, I got to say, thank you very much. A few years back when I was in the hospital, you sent me a Get Well card. And here it is. I'm not giving it back to you, but I guess I was just wondering, could you explain to me a bit about this? I was in the hospital and this arrived from Melissa Ofdermauer. What is this?
Well, I heard you were sick, and because I never come to Vancouver, hardly ever, in that time I was on tour with Hole. This day, actually, was my last show I ever played with Hole, ever. It was at Summer Edge Fest 99. And a local friend said Nardwuar is sick, because I said, where's Nardwuar? He's the fun part of Vancouver. And they said you were sick, and I was very concerned, and I was in a rock shop, and I thought you might like this, because you are a quiet riot.
Are there any heavy metal connections to Melissa Ofdermauer?
Other than my family name and my Germanic roots.
Well, Quiet Riot. Like, I thought there might have been some... Did you ever meet the guys from Quiet Riot, or did any Quiet Rioters ever come out to see you?
Metal Health. No wonder why I gave this to you. They're Metal Health. We wanted you to have the health of steel. I had a Quiet Riot with the Twisted Sister without you, meaning we missed you. Yeah, we wanted you to be there. And Courtney is always, you know, aware of your of Nardwuar's genius, so she was probably also asking, where is he? I don't know. Where is he? He's sick. I'm going to send him a Get Well Soon champion.
I really appreciate that, Melissa. I mean, that's really amazing. I mean, just to get that when you're in a hospital. And yes, Courtney did say props to me from the stage and all these people phones. That was very nice, because when you're in a hospital,
You are better now.
I'm feeling much, much better now.
So better that you're opening up for Franz Ferdinand in New York City, and I missed it.
Very exciting, but also it made me think a bit more about the metal, Melissa Ofdermauer. Quiet Riot, yes, that's very metal, but you guys a few years earlier had played in Tuk-Tuk-Tuk with Hole.
And Metallica.
Now, what was that like? You got like $500,000 to play for like 500 kids.
I don't know that number. That's back in the heyday of music and beer, when there actually was money to be made. Now there's not those kinds of figures throwing around. But that was quite absurd. Obviously, you go invade a native Canadian territory place with a bunch of beer and money and rock music. It was quite horrific. But Metallica was always fun to be near.
What was the interaction like? Because Moist was almost there. I think they actually were there. Did Moist talk to Metallica?
Moist weren't there, but Veruca Salt were there.
No, I think Moist were there as well.
We were all there together, a big four-piece party.
And if you're wondering, Melissa Ofdermauer, it's all been captured on a movie called Invasion of the Beer People. Did you know that?
And that's my wonderful Canadian buddy who's friends with my father who made that movie. Right?
Albert Nurnberg.
Albert Nurnberg. You guys are two peas in a pod, although East-West Coast.
Well, he did a movie called Stupidity, too, which I'm fully down with. But, Melissa, what do you remember about that, though? Invasion of the Beer People. That's pretty well. Did you bring back any souvenirs from Tuk-Tuk-Tuk when you were there with Hole?
No, just an absurd story that I like to share at all times. Like, we went up to the Arctic Circle. I touched the Arctic Ocean and got a bunch of money that I lived on for 2 years. And I got to play on the same stage as Metallica. That was a good story.
Melissa Ofdermauer, like MC Hammer, who has the catchphrase...
Humpty Dumpty. I don't remember his...
I think that's the Digital Underground or something like that. MC Hammer's catchphrase is... Can't...
Fight the party? I don't know.
No, can't touch...
Can't touch this.
Can't touch this, yes. You have your own catchphrase now, don't you, Melissa Ofdermauer?
What is it?
Lightning is my...
Oh, girl...
Yeah, you got your own catchphrase.
Really? Okay, I would have thought maybe it was going to shuffle his deck clean would have been. But lightning is my girl is a better catchphrase, yes.
Because you have been using that quite a bit. What's the theme behind lightning is my girl, Melissa Ofdermauer?
Well, it all started with a dream I had about a young girl who the only time she could ever see her true love was when a lightning storm and lightning would strike and tuck her into bed, and she would wait on the corner with a can of cherry cola and see her true love. And it was a reoccurring dream, and it was a special bond between a girl and a strike of lightning. Lightning bolt, I guess it would be called. I don't know. Lightning is my girl. She helps me, and she's electric power.
So you have that trademark, that catchphrase now. Lightning is my...
I think you're making it Lightning is my girl trademark.
Lightning is my girl. Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band...
Sloan.
...told me that you also have another little trademark, your caress of your hand on your face.
Oh, my God. That really?
In the video.
Oh.
When you do that.
He must made that up. I mean, he picked up on it because I... Yes, it's a... that and looking up. That's so embarrassing.
Because he says that makes him melt every time you do that and list off them out.
Yes, when Chris's kick makes me melt. And that is his kick phrase, catchphrase, is kick up, right? The Chris Murphy kick.
He can still do it.
Oh, I know.
Melissa Oftemeyer, you've been working hard, aren't you?
Oh, my God. Yes, 10 months straight of touring. I sound like Grover. I have snot in my nose, and I'm ready to hibernate for the winter.
But you're very versatile. I noticed you played with The Offspring.
Yeah.
And then after The
Offspring... Separated is what I say.
And then after The Offspring, you play with The Cure.
Oh, that was the best tour of my entire life. That was most romantic. The Cure Festival saved my year. It was the most romantic thing.
Come on, what about The Offspring tour?
Gotta keep them separated.
And so you've done some Curing, you've done some Offspring, and then you do radio shows with Cradle of Filth.
Oh, my... Yes. I'm an all-around music kind of girl. International and musical and punkable.
I mean, how many people can say Offspring, Cure, and Cradle of Filth all in the same year, Melissa Oftemeyer?
How many people can say Smashing Pumpkins and Hole all in the same decade?
Not many, except Melissa Oftemeyer from Montreal.
Canada!
Melissa, you also saved the day for some Americans from San Francisco, the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. You filled in for these dudes, didn't you?
Yeah.
They were slacking off, and in comes Canada to save the day. How did Melissa Oftemeyer save the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club?
Well, they were having a scuffle buffle, and they're slotted to open up for Muse in Paris in front of 23,000 French romantic music fans, and I was shuttled off from the Reading Festival, England, for my one last hurrah. Thank you, Paris, for being a nice listener country. And I don't know. I guess I played a show, and I made a mistake in the big French hit, which is called Taste You, and we had to start the whole song over, and I giggled, and I was very tired, and I had sort of lost my voice that day. So I tried to save the day. I would have liked to see Black Motorcycle play, but hey.
You filled in for them. Like, you made the crowds happy.
I tried.
Melissa Oftemeyer, you were touring also with the Von...
Bondi.
And that's very German, isn't it?
Yes, that was the Dutch-German invasion of Michigan through Florida. We beat every hurricane throughout Florida. And then we ended the tour in London, Ontario a few days ago. The Von Bondis. Have you interviewed them?
Yes, I have.
Jason is fun. You two would get along.
Well, they're into the garage thing. But speaking of the garage, you've been down with the garage scene for quite a long time, haven't you, Melissa Oftemeyer?
Way back in the gruesome days, eh? Circa 86.
Yes, and that's what I was going to give you, as a little present here, a little gruesomes button.
Montreal Heroes, the gruesomes.
I always talk about these guys, but they are important, aren't they?
So
the gruesomes.
Important. And now with the whole garage revival, I would say, oh, back in Montreal when I was in junior high school, this was all the rage, but now it's back.
The Gruesomes from Montreal, but there are also a whole bunch of other bands, like Andrew Rodriguez. His band, the Sure.
The Sherlocks.
The Sherlocks. Like, there's a whole scene. What did you look like back then, Melissa Oftemeyer? Were you a ska mod?
Yes, I was a ska mod. They were, like, I went, opted for the ska versus the super mod 60s girl. I wore knee-high white Doc Martens, little checkered skirts, and I hated my red curly hair because all I wanted to do was have black straight bang hair, so I would just put a black bandana and and put my hair in a ponytail and be very, very shy and go on attempt to go on scooter runs and then do acid and get scared.
Melissa Oftemeyer, who else from that scene is still around? I mentioned the Gruesomes are still playing. They do the occasional gig. Andrew Rodriguez from Bodega. Who else from that scene growing up, the early ska mod scene, aside from yourself, Melissa Oftemeyer?
The guys from Me Mama Morgenthaler, but they're behind the scenes, and they made the stills. They produced and made the stills, and they're Montreal heroes now, the stills. So,
and Me Mama Morgenthaler, you got to love them.
I was a big fan of them. Yes, absolutely.
Also, I was wondering, Melissa Oftemauer, Godspeed You Black.
Emperor Montreal Heroes.
And how do they play into your history? Because they are very important with Melissa Oftemauer, aren't they?
Oh, my God. You know about that detail. Yes. Yes. Fufun Electrique, which is Canada's CBGBs, the absolute punk rock historical landmark. I was a show in 1991, the Smashing Pumpkins, playing in front of 20 people. My drunk friend Bruce threw a bottle at Billy Corgan. I apologized on behalf of Montreal, and that got me into the mess I got into in the American rock scene. And Bruce is the drummer in Godspeed You Black Emperor.
So if it wasn't for Godspeed You
Black Emperor,
there'd be no Melissa Off.
Dear Mauer, well, I would have been born, but I wouldn't have had my big adventure in American rock music, no.
Did he ever make up with Billy, or did you ever talk to Billy about that actual incident? Did Billy forgive the Canadians for that?
I was offered as a forgiven, what's it called? An offering of forgivement. I don't know how to speak English.
But you are Melissa Ofta?
Mauer.
Is it true that French is your first language? Is French your first language?
No, I went to school in French, though, because if you're born in Montreal, it's an obligatory thing to study in French. So I studied in French, but my mother's American. My father was English-speaking from Swiss immigrants. So French is my second language.
Now, Melissa Oftemauer, how hard is Montreal? I mean, Billy Corgan getting bottles thrown at his head when there's only 20 people in the audience. That's pretty tough, isn't it?
It's a tough town. It's a tough, sexy town. It's a late-night town. It's way tougher than the rest of Canada, from what I see here.
Because the first time I met you, believe it or not, my rock and roll band was supposed to play with Cub, the great rock and roll band from Vancouver, Cub.
And then we played instead, right?
And Tinker were supposed to play as well, but we were late. The Evaporators were late.
Oh, yeah, you missed the whole show.
And I remember getting a little lecture from you, Melissa Oftemauer, way back then, like, you are late. You're late. You're not playing. I'm like, please, we're from Vancouver. No. Like, no, you missed it. You missed it. You're not going on.
He's joking, by
the way. No, this is true.
There's no way. I said you can't play.
I'm not exactly sure, but you were tough. I mean, this was Montreal. This was tough.
Montreal is serious.
You were laying down the rules to me.
I was laying down the rules. I was I had my own beer store stool at the Biff Tech Saint Laurent, and it was very, when I look back at memories of that, it's a very serious, we're making music here, and if you fuck around, you know, you don't belong here. It was very serious times in Montreal in the early 90s. Very underground, serious stuff.
I just like the way that you were taking charge back then. Here I am, directionless guy from the West Coast, wandering around. Melissa's like, look, I'm in Tinker. You guys were late. You're not playing. I'm sorry about that.
There's no way. I was not a B-I-T-C-H to you. There's no way. You must have missed the show, and I don't know. And I was just telling it like it is.
Well, it wasn't maybe that rough, but I just like the way that you laid it down. You laid down the rule. I have another thing from the past I want to bring up. This was a leftover here, Melissa Oftemauer, from the tour 1999 where Hole went across Canada on Edge Fest. This is reserved for Eric.
Our guitar player, Eric.
And I think this had something to do with Courtney's birthday party that happened where somebody jumped out of a cake.
Oh, you know what? The birthday party happened in Calgary. So how this must have been...
Eric's place at the table was reserved in front of the birthday cake.
We hired a Calgary cowgirl stripper, and Courtney did shots from her breasts or something absurd. And Eric had a reserved spot, of course, because he's an important male member of Hole.
And that was my little bit of Hole memorabilia that I've been holding on to.
Well, you can use it anywhere you go at a Hole party.
Melissa Oftemauer, did Courtney Love teach you any bad habits?
Everything Courtney does, I don't do. No, she's good habits, all good, speak up and be yourself.
But I'm thinking that maybe she gave you some bad habits. For instance, you were ska modding, going to the thrift shops and stuff, right?
Oh, you're going to say something about fashion?
Like, well, did Courtney get you hooked on the designer fashion? Now you're hanging out with an Oliver type guy.
That is an accident that happens when you join a big rock band and all of a sudden there's like stylists and people tweezing at your brows and clothes being offered. That is far from a habit I have. Most of the clothes I wear are gifts from my, designer type friends.
But have you had to go through any rehab, like thrift store rehab or designer rehab? Are you trying to get back to it? Because now you got Oftemauer. You got the brand new solo CD. Are you going through rehab? Are you going to the thrift stores now?
Yes, always. I have to get back to the roots of thrift. But actually, I haven't been shopping all year. I've been too busy with the music. And everything I'm wearing, I basically have owned for many, many years. I guess Courtney, maybe she would bring me to a Versace party or two too many. And I have no more Versace parties to go to.
Did they just hand out free stuff? of Versace. Like,
seriously.
How good is that? Is that amazing?
That's insane. You walk into a store. I mean, she was so... One of my favorite rock stories with Hole was the Donatella flying me and Courtney out to the first...
Donatella...
Versace.
No first names here.
So flying us out and having, like, we go backstage first to, like, hang out in her little, on her white couch where it's just naked models, you know, dressing and undressing, and she hands champagne, a little mirror plate of no thank you very much, and then she goes, and her little small gay assistant man goes, boys, and in comes a line of male models, and me, Courtney and I, who are, you know, generally not intimidated by the idea of a bunch of men, but a whole line of super buff male models line up and introduce themselves, like, I'm Craig. I'm from Wisconsin. I like rock music and surfboarding or what. And so there's this whole lineup, and we basically are being suggested that after the party we could have our pick of it, but that's Donatella style, and we did not have our doings goings with any male models. However, that was one of my favorite absurd moments in Hole, and that was part of the fashion absurdity that you brought up.
How about any Vivian Westwooding? Like, could you go back into the vault?
I wish I could. No, I haven't done Vivian Westwooding stuff, but we did once go visit Stevie Nicks' wardrobe container at her rehearsal space. With the boots that I want. She had 25 custom boots.
Did Courtney steal any of it? I bet she wanted to.
Courtney was given a gift of some, yeah, a shawl or something.
What about collecting stuff with Courtney or having fashion fights with Oftamar? Because I know that Courtney loves the vintage dresses, doesn't she? Going, like, way back. Did you ever go to a thrift shop with her and fight with her? Like, you found something? Or was there any fighting ever over clothes?
She was too lazy to go to the thrift shop, so sometimes she'd try to steal.
She'd send her assistant out, right?
She'd steal some of my stuff. But this is actually a story I didn't remember until recently. Best story. The original connection between Courtney and I first started with... my band member Steve walking into the room. Cow Palace, San Francisco, New Year's Eve concert. Chili Peppers, Pearl Jam, Nirvana opening up for those two bands. Me and my old Canadian friend Janice Fike, we took a Greyhound bus from Montreal to San Francisco, arrived on New Year's Eve to the Cow Palace, convinced the old lady at the ticket booth that we were on the list, which we weren't, and we said, the drummer, Dave Grohl, put us on the list. We're totally on that list. And that was just because Scream was kind of friends with some roadie friend of ours from Canada. And we snuck into the show, and earlier that day, I had been shopping on Haight Street, went to a vintage clothing store, saw the most gorgeous vintage dress, but it was $20, and I was on a budget, so I couldn't buy it. After party at the Cow Palace, Kurt Cobain has his new girlfriend, Courtney, on his arm, wearing the dress that I couldn't afford to buy. And so my first reaction and view of Courtney was, what? She's wearing that dress that I wanted. She has more money than I do. She could afford the $20 dress. And that was the beginning of our friendship.
Were you ever able to get that dress back?
Like, I did find it in her closet. I never took it back, but I did find it in her closet years later when I joined her band.
Oh, that's crazy. You were searching in her closet then, Liz Oftamauer?
Oh, she's very generous, actually. She had way too many closets, and she'd say, borrow something if you'd like to wear it.
So what's the deal about your band, the Chelsea, and Courtney's band, the Chelsea?
This is a very good question. I have no idea. I mean, the only connection is that Samantha Maloney, old drummer for Hole, was in my weekend project, The Chelsea, and Radio Sloan, who's in The Need, the Northwest amazing band, she's in Courtney's band. So I think something, because those two girls are in it, they decided they could be the Chelsea as well, living in a parallel universe.
Liz Oftamauer, your brand new CD, Oftamauer, is just amazing. A lot of the things that are cool about it is the artwork. Okay. I love that pic there.
Did you see the sweatshirt? Look, Steve's wearing the sweatshirt. We got to get you one of these, Nardwar.
Oh, wow.
You like that graphic, we got that on sale online and at my merch booth.
What's the deal behind? Did you draw this? Who drew this?
No,
what's the idea behind?
Actually,
this is so nice.
Capitol Records has a great art department, and I basically said I want an illustration because the idea is I wanted silhouette, but this is a photo silhouette. Could we make a very romantic sort of turn of the century, yet modern, because she's got a bass, and so that's me rocking out in a swamp.
It's just, like, so cute there, Melissa.
Thank you.
And then we move along here as well, and we have some pictures. And I just love this picture right here in the corner.
That's my signature move, if I ever had one.
Like, just in the very edge. Is that the signature move?
That's one of them.
That's right on the edge.
Yeah, that's on the edge
like,
there.
That is a... I just love it. Like, the look you have there. It's amazing.
That's a genuine rock out right there.
Now, right over here, we also have some other stuff in this Oftmauer. I love this writing here you have here. In the last decade of the 20th century, an event occurred in the lives and minds of a random few. It was an event of magical momentum. A building was erected. Where did you come up with that?
Dream of many. Three-dimensional sound. That is a dream I had in 1991 that is why I made this record and is why I played music, which was a dream about the universe or the aliens or the gods, whoever they were, offering this gift of three-dimensional sound that would penetrate people's flesh and blood and bring people together. And I woke up from that dream and realized I must make rock music, picked up bass, joined band, joined other band, and then eventually made this record. So the closing track of this album, I Need, I Want, I Will, and then the sideline is pass it on, is this secret dream I had from the alien message of making rock music brings people together, and that's what I do here.
I'm so glad you wrote that down.
Yeah, I never even had to write it down.
You remembered it all these years.
I did. It changed my life. One day to the next, my life was changed because of one dream I had.
Melissa Oftmauer, this is the booklet that this keeps on giving. We have all those things. And then right here, this album is dedicated to my grandparents and my ancestors I have never met. I feel you in my blood and my soul.
Right in here. Yeah, and that's why I took the Melissa away from Oftmauer, because Melissa is just a tiny, tiny, tiny speck in the chain of long bloodline of Oftmauer, which dates back to the 900s, which finishes the booklet, My Family Crest, dating back to early 1200s, and the history of the Oftmauer family name now has a book that was published this year. By accident, same year as my album was released, these Swiss sweet men, the Oftmauer Committee, put out a book of the history of the family name.
Now, Melissa Oftmauer, you financed this all by yourself. You paid for this entire thing. Instead of thrift shopping, you paid for this record.
That's right.
Who else has self-financed that you've learned? Who else have you come across that self-financed that you know in the rock world?
Help me here.
Is anybody as stupid as you to do it?
Does anybody not care about money as much as I do to put all of their money into music? Well, I mean, I'm assuming that the Godspeed You Black Emperor people originally invested in their thing. Lots of independent people do. The weird thing is me investing in it and then signing to a major label. That's the weird part, is that I was so not actively being smart business lady, is that I spent all my money and then I was backed up against the wall with, well, now I need to put it out and I need to put a band together to go on tour. So now I need the funding of a major label.
But you paid for it all. But because you paid for it all, you could pick whoever you want to be on it. Mm-hmm. And you got the Nick X Stone Age guy on it.
Yeah, I got Josh and Nick. And
now, how wild is Nick? Because Nick was kicked out of the Dwarves. He's kicked out of the Queens of the Stone. Like, how wild is Nick? Because you had Nick on the record.
Yes. And Nick, the only reason he was even on the record is he was hanging out because Josh was in the studios. And Nick was drinking beers on the couch. And I had the beast of bass, the best bass player I've ever seen in my life is Nick Oliveri. And even though I'm the bass player and I was playing bass on this record, I had to invite the beast into the studio. And even I have video footage of him performing just in the studio. And he's just like this sweating, rocking. He's the best bass player I've ever seen. And he is absolutely a beast, a freak of nature.
What is crazy? Just to get kicked out of the Dwarves. To get kicked out of the Dwarves.
I know. And I remember that's when I first met him. Josh was all proud saying, he's in my band. He was kicked out of the Dwarves. Yeah, he's intense. He's a real deal. There's no other word for Nick but real deal.
Melissa Oftmauer, you were also with me when I experienced something very traumatic. 1995, Lollapalooza. Oh, yeah. I witnessed Drew Barrymore flashing me, but it didn't get caught in the camera.
Oh, that was traumatic to not get it on the camera?
Well, not to get it on the camera, because a week later she did it on Letterman.
Okay, so that's all right, yes.
But my question to you is, did Drew always get naked? Did she always flash back then? I mean, was that just like she was flashing? Like, I think I was interviewing you, and then she flashed us.
Behind the camera, you're right. Drew, I don't know. I haven't seen her flash lately, right?
But back then, was she always flashing? I mean, tell me I didn't miss out on a
special. You were special. You and Letterman are special.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes.
No, you mean it was a rare occurrence?
It was a rare occurrence.
I was talking to you like this, and we were looking there, and then she flashed, and it didn't get on the camera.
Shit. But she's a flower child. She's just a flashing flower child. But I haven't seen her do that too much, just for you.
And what about Eric? Are we going to hear anything about Eric? What's Eric up to?
Eric is a devout Buddhist self-help majoring, wild, wonderful. I think he's graduated from rock music. I think he is perhaps done with music and more into the true spiritual realm.
So no more rocking at all? Like, did you consider it ever getting him to play any guitar licks on your record?
Oh, he did. He played on one song. He played on a song called What If I Could. Yeah, I think he's.
Did you get him because he plays like a girl? Is that why Courtney originally got Eric?
No, Eric's just a very. I got him because I love him, and I wanted to invite all people that inspired me and played a big part of my life on my record to guest on my record. But he's got a very delicate touch, and I think that he's moved on to broader things than music.
Melissa Auftemauer of the rock and roll band.
Auftemauer.
Auftemauer, your grandma. Is it true that she got letters from the Pope, the Prime Minister, and the Queen? What's the deal on that? That's amazing.
My grandmother, who actually died on my birthday this year, a week away from turning 101, on her 100th birthday, did receive letters from the Queen, the Pope, the Prime Minister, the Mayor, the everyone you'd ever want a letter from, because she's turned 100 years old, and enough people wrote letters to, Dear Pope, my mother, this is my aunt, so my mother, who's a devout Catholic, what kept my grandmother alive until 100 years old was that she believed in you-know-who up there and had a special relationship with him, and basically the Pope bought it when they sent the letter, and we got the scroll from the Vatican.
The Pope bought it?
Yes, he fell for it, but no, she really is. She has a special thing, and she's up there with him right now.
Melissa Auftemauer, I asked you a little bit about Tinker, a little bit about the Gruesomes. One thing before we leave here, we got to get something about Men Without Hats. What's going on with those guys?
Pop goes the world. What's going on now?
Well, like, what do you remember about Men Without Hats? People kind of diss them, but they pass, you know, they're everywhere still. I mean, they're amazing.
That's a huge hit. International major deal hit, right? Wow, you can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. And if your midgets don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're too short for me.
Were they an inspiration for Auftemauer?
No, but my mother was a worked at CBC and worked in radio, and she had their records, so I think maybe it was like a little prior to my musical inspiration. No, I didn't get much inspiration, but I did see Ivan from Men Without Hats hanging out a lot at the bar.
Because I think of Men Without Hats, I think of Boot Sauce.
Oh, God, Boot Sauce, yes.
I mean, they give me a few laughs.
Yeah, that's
I mean, thank you for giving me laughs.
Thank you, me?
No, thank you, Boot Sauce. Thank you, Montreal.
Yes, Montreal had very eclectic, weird music and still does.
And what about your good friend Cecil Seaskill, Nerdy Girl? What happened to the Nerdy Girl?
She's doing great. She lives in Los Angeles. She lives on $3 a day and a cup of coffee and is on her second book being published, Teen Romances.
Now, hold on a second. Is that what happens to Canadians that move to Los Angeles, $3 a day in coffee?
That's what happens to real deal artists who don't care about, you know, having enough money to buy a new hair clip, but you just want to be able to write your book. So she's writing her second teen romance right now. Her first one's called Boy Proof, coming out this year. I'm very proud of her. She writes her little ass off.
But when you moved to Los Angeles, or you got in hold, did you find any other girls trying to follow your lead and maybe not succeeding at all? I mean, you talk about inspiration, but were there some sad cases of $3 a day coffee in the dumps at all in Los Angeles? Did you help anybody out? Did you let anybody live with you? Like, Joe Strummer used to take people in his hotel rooms on tour with The Clash, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I let Cecil do all her laundry there and eat my food. Rufus Wainwright, who was not hurting but was not organized enough to get an apartment, lived in my house. I guess, yeah, they always had a good mix of people who were going to the big Hollywood parties that had success or non-success. I don't know. We're always mingling all together.
Did Rufus tell you about his song, Rufus is a Tit Man?
Oh, the one by his father?
Yes.
Yes, the sucking on mother's tit. I know that one because doesn't he cover it? No, he just talks about it. Yeah, I know that song.
What was the deal on Rufus and Jeff Buckley? Why was he afraid of Jeff Buckley?
Why is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was kind of jealous of Jeff Buckley.
Well, all those guys and girls that come from big, famous people from the 60s and 70s, I think it's almost like royalty. You know, it's equivalent, especially if it's not rock royalty, but serious singer-songwriter royalty. That's even more sophisticated. So I think maybe he just could see that they're similar to peas in the pod and maybe a competition. I don't know. And they both have good, but they're both equally amazing. And poor Jeff Buckley's not alive anymore.
Melissa Auftemauer, winding up here, I want to ask about your dad. You were talking about being compared to different people. I mean, your dad was amazing, like all the cool things that he did. Like, there's a lot of responsibility about being an Auftemauer, isn't there?
Definitely, and especially him being, and my grandmother being so cool. The whole Auftemauer family is very, very intense. But growing up, Nick's daughter, and him being the equivalent of a sort of rock musician of politics in wonderful Montreal, Canada. Yeah, definitely I grew under the sweet mustached shadow of my father, and I just like to make him proud even when he's not here.
Now, did he hang out with Frank Zappa, and did you hang out with Frank Zappa at all, Melissa Auftemauer?
That was my mother. My mother hung out with Frank Zappa because my mother was the rock chick. She was the first female rock DJ in Montreal. My father was believed that no good music was made past 1920, so he didn't hang out with many rock folks, although he did come on tour once with me with Hole. But no, my mother was the mingling with the late 60s, early 70s rock guys.
So you never met Zappa yourself then?
No, I might have been in her belly, though, when they met.
That's pretty cosmic.
Yes.
Lastly here, about your dad, I read that he was picked up during the FLQ crisis. Like, your dad was picked up.
Yeah,
what was going on there? That was pretty scary. War Measures Act? What do you know about that situation?
Well, that he, my father was always friends with the underdogs and the people fighting a good fight, and he got messed up in some of the people trying to create chaos. So, yes, he was put into jail for a day or so. He was also kicked out of the USSR.
How did that happen?
What was it? He was on some political tour, and he did an inappropriate toast with a vodka shot, and they picked him up from the table, put him into a plane, and sent him home, and he was never allowed to go back.
An inappropriate toast. Is it the way he held it or what he said?
What he said, and I don't remember the punchline.
That's amazing, getting kicked out of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Melissa Oftemauer, what are your favorite Quebecois dishes? Do you have any favorite Quebecois dishes? I mean, you're touring all the time.
And there's only one, and of course I had a good-ass poutine when I was home.
And you are Melissa Off?
Dear Mauer.
Melissa, are you truly addicted to cheese? Do you have a disease? Are you addicted to cheese?
This one, you mean?
Yes.
No, but I am Swiss of origin, so cheese is in my blood.
Melissa Oftemauer, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Oh, Canada. It's my first thorough tour. The Matthew Good Band has invited me to go from Kamloops to Newfoundland, and I shall see you there.
Why should people care about Melissa Oftemauer? Why should people care, Melissa Oftemauer?
Because bass is the place, and rock music is the friendly face. I'm not quite sure. Other than, I try.
Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Melissa Oftemauer?
Nardwar, it was a pleasure seeing you again. And thank you very much for coming to my hotel room bed.
Well, thank you very much for the gift that cheered me up of Quiet Riot when I was sick.
And this was really my last show with Hole. So you and your illness was coinciding with my last show with Hole ever.
Well, thanks very much. Not for the illness, but thanks so much for the Get Well card. And keep on rocking in the free world. And doo 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 doo
doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo doo